VPN that we had up here. I don't even see the icon up here on the desktop no more. Yeah, where is it?
Thank you.
Well, all right. Good morning. Good evening. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, and all the other places that the brethren is simulcasting this. We send greetings to each and every last one of you, and we're almost there. We're going to go ahead and say it anyway. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. As you can see, we're joined here by our very special guest that has done traveled on the highways and byways from an undisclosed location to be with us here at Straightway today. And we've had a wonderful time thus far with him and his lovely wife. Now, we know that it's entirely too early or too soon because there's so much to take in for him to actually draw a conclusions of the whole of the ministry of Straightway. However, Brother Pete can actually speak about his experience thus far and just speak within the perimeters of that context. But you all know that I think it was a couple of months ago or something like that. I'm not good with these time frames. I listened to him a couple of times on YouTube, and I said, man, speaking truth right here. So you know what I did? I just, hey, somebody start listening to him over here. And then I immediately started, y'all started listening to him, and next thing you know, he mentioned about that his subscribers started going up, and you know, also, and not only that, but people that don't even listen to us that started even more so. Somehow, this internet is connected. That's why I guess is why they call it the well. But anyway, we're glad that they're here. They've broken bread with us. They've had a good tour of the land. We are enjoying them immensely. We know that they're somewhat tired because they've been on the road driving for a while. So, Brother Pete, go ahead and introduce yourself. Explain to us your experience to drive here, your experience thus far being here on the land of Straightway as an eyewitness.
I'm excited to be here. I have heard, actually, I was watching your videos years ago and then got sidetracked doing other things.
Right.
But we've been on the tour walk for about 10 or 11 years and then came back across some of your stuff maybe 3 or 4 years ago as I was kind of keeping an eye on, enjoying, watching, paying attention, because I was on a journey of discovery with understanding headship and marriage and understanding the truth of polygyny and studying, writing, and so this was the source that I was looking at kind of from a distance. And then a couple of, it's been 4 months ago or five months ago now, I was driving after I posted the video. Don't do this. This is bad form. I was trying to edit and get the video posted because I was trying to hit a deadline, and I'm driving and doing this, and my phone started going bing, 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 bing. And when I finally got to my destination, I had to look and see, what in the world? And all of a sudden, it's all these new subscribers, and I thought, where did this come from? And I found out that day that you had given the shout-out from, you were at a Cracker Barrel somewhere, because I could see from the background, figured
that's
out.
Right.
And that's kind of where things started. So,
and, of course, if you don't have this book by now, you can go over to Amazon and get this book. As a matter of fact, we have purchased so many of these things in this ministry. I'm sure if I go ahead and put a plug in for this book right here, it's about headship and authority. I've made a required reading for my family, required. And Brother Kabir, Elder Kabir has also done the same. This book is loaded. If you want to be put on the right path in mindset and functionality and function the way you should be an Israelite, listen, Israel can't be built without a solid foundation. And it starts here.
That is correct.
It really truly does.
Absolutely.
And so it's loaded with scripture. I mean, I'm on every other page. Every time you turn around, there's scriptures quoted. See, just to open it up, turn, look, scripture quoted right there. It's all over the place. And so I've been thumping this a little bit, and we hope that you'll go on Amazon and actually get this book right here. It's a good book to put into your library. And notice, he says down there, according to Moses, which a lot of people despise nowadays. But, you know, it's just something to be the custodian of the law, of the Torah, and we respect, have much respect for Moses because the Most High did. Hallelujah. So how's your experience thus far being here at Straightway?
Today has been amazing. We got in here about 2 o'clock, right at 2 o'clock, and got, I mean, everywhere, lots of hugs, lots of greetings, very warm. I didn't expect anything less. I was warned that I was going to be hugged.
Right.
And that's, I'm good with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I love being among men and seeing men, seeing godly families, seeing ordered families, amazed at everything here community-wise,
mm-hmm.
And the vision for extended communities and growing and connectedness between those communities. In our conversation, and I know that my viewers have heard me say it many times, that Israel cannot be restored if we don't get the family right. We've got to get authority, headship, and family structure right, and it begins with understanding the man's place, and then from there it goes to man and his woman or women, and then beyond that it goes to beginning to build clan and then tribe and the restoration. The restoration cannot, it will not happen top-down with an organization that's been tried many times, but Yah mm-hmm. always starts with a man or with men, and that's what we're seeing. And so.
That sounds just like what El Rupa says, don't it? Sounds just like, almost verbatim, what El Rupa says. We got Jay, or is that Jay? No, JG. Pastor, how can someone serious about seeking salvation and baptism connect with you? Well, it's simple. The number behind me, it's right here. You leave a message for Elder Doug. What he'll do is he'll put you in contact with someone that is within your geographical location. And once he does that, you leave a message for him. He'll get back with you, and the leader of that area will get back with you, and then we can go forward from there. If you don't have anyone in your geographical location, just call, leave a message right here with this number right here, and for Elder Doug. And then tell him that you would like to come and visit Straightway. You heard Pastor Donald on Blog Talk Radio. He actually sent a message out. And you would like to come in and get baptized. And you want to know what salvation is all about. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Glory to the King. And that's how you do it. It makes it very simple. Extremely simple. Well, you all know. Go ahead.
I want to feel the floor for a minute.
No, go ahead.
One of the really cool things I learned a number of years ago mm-hmm. from a friend of mine by the name of Dr. Iglalik Sukina. He's a Native American, an Inuit, who is also an Israelite.
Okay.
He wrote a book titled Warfare by Honor. And in his book, Warfare by Honor, he talks about the properness of protocol.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come into another person's house,
mm-hmm.
you protocol.
Right.
And the purpose of protocol is to show proper honor,
mm-hmm.
to show proper respect,
mm-hmm.
and it's best done when you have the opportunity to do that in front of the men that are led by the one that is being protocoled.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take this opportunity to honor you.
Oh, bless you, my brother.
I really do. I want to take this opportunity. I have been on a journey, and I have suffered many wounds in the process, and so mm-hmm. I know what you've been through.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you've been through. And so I've got a couple goodies here that come with a story.
All right.
Okay. So early on with my videos, of course, it was you that gave my little YouTube channel really a major leap.
Okay.
And one of the things that I say at the end of every video is for King and Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
For King and Kingdom. And so to start with, and the image here is of Gideon and his men.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, guys, I want you to understand, it doesn't take a whole bunch of people. Gideon was one man who led. He started with a whole bunch, but there were a lot of people that said, nope, I'm not interested in that journey.
Mm-hmm.
They left out of fear, or they left because they were not operating according to the way Yah wanted them to operate. And 30,000 men were trimmed to 300. But with 300 men, he was able to absolutely, utterly destroy the Midianites that were the most feared group in the region. And there were probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 100,000 soldiers at that point. Maybe.
Mm.
And yet, 300 men. Okay? So that really, the shirt is signifying that. But with that, one of the things that I love about you, Pastor Dow, is that you're willing to stand in a hard place for a truth that's hard to see for most people.
Mm.
And so I have something for you.
I Hallelujah.
All you have to do is add hot water and the truth becomes visible.
Oh, I see it now. Yeah, but you're right. And that's something to do.
If you want to dial out for some for a pot of hot water, we'll show that off in a
second. Hey, one of y'all, one of my teachers make a pot of hot water. So when you put this water inside this cup, it actually reveals the truth that is on this cup right here.
So we'll do that. So with that though, at the same time, I knew that one of the things that you really appreciate is real money.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I've been teaching my people for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've personally walked in since long before Torah because I understood value.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to give you an ounce of silver, but you will appreciate the message on both sides of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's real money.
And it has, from the Constitution, uh-huh. on one side, that identifies money in this country as silver and gold.
Uh-huh.
And on the other side, it has a Torah scroll with the Torah pieces and the 10 words on it, mm-hmm. and the connection from the Torah.
Glory to the king. Glory to the king. Now.
So I'm not finished.
Go ahead.
I've told you, I had fun with this because I thought about so many different things I really kind of wanted to do. And you and I share an appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
You and I share an appreciation for enjoying some of the things that are that can be enjoyed this way, right?
Uh-huh.
One of the things that I like is not only do I like bourbon, but I like finding small batch local stuff. And so this is a South Carolina product.
Okay.
That I would like to give you. Mm. So bringing it from South Carolina.
620. 5 grams. Bourbon whiskey.
Well, we got an Israelite up in here, don't we? Hallelujah.
But it wouldn't be complete if you didn't have something to put it in. Now, the other day, I was you talk about building community, you
mm-hmm.
talk about building men,
mm-hmm.
and you talk about the importance of skills.
Mm-hmm.
And you're often talking about building and construction and everything else. But I was scanning your bookshelf, and I saw a book back in here somewhere. It may have moved because I last saw it over here.
Mm-hmm.
Durable Trade.
It's up there. Yeah.
It is. It's right up there.
Mm-hmm.
And with durable trades, I have been trying to teach my people to learn skills. So even if you are in the city right now waiting to get out to the community,
mm-hmm.
you should be learning some skills that are useful for carrying things forward.
Correct.
And so I started learning some things about leather work, and I did that for you.
Wow. Nice plans, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so one final item. a friend of mine heard I was coming, and he said, what's the route you're taking? And I told him, and he said, you got to stop at this exit. I'll meet you because I want to send something.
Really?
He wanted to send some truth serum.
Truth mm-hmm. serum.
Ooh.
So from one of my close friends who we're in loose community with.
We know what this is, don't we?
So actually, he measured it out. He said, that's exactly what it takes to fill a flask the first time. So there you go.
All right.
But I thank you for the stand that you have taken,
mm-hmm.
for the heat that you have taken, and for the willingness to let the willingness to lose the things of the world and the friends of the world for the sake of walking in truth.
Yes.
So, absolutely.
Hallelujah. You want to hold it?
I will hold it.
Okay, go ahead. You hold it. So does it have to sit?
As soon as it heats up.
Oh, man, look at this thing. Ha-ha! The truth is being revealed. Look at that. I had to let y'all in on this. Look at this. Whoa!
I filled it all the way up. But,
hey, come and fill it up.
You fill it all the way up because right in the...
Summer, put some more in there. Summer, go put some more.
This is the same thing that I've got on my t-shirt here. But it says, I think it says, a hot truth that the world wants you to
put some more in there.
That's a fun surprise to spring on people, folks.
Alright, look at that. That is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. It says, alright, let's try to go do this. Look at this. It starts here. Jacob's family. A hot, I gotta put it down. Truth. Then we go back around again. The world wants you to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the truth, though?
That's the truth.
Isn't that the truth? So you look at Jacob right here, and you look at all this, his consorts, mm-hmm. all his women, mm-hmm. his Ishas, mm-hmm. Peglis, anyway, it's his family.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the 12 sons.
Come on.
And the sheep in that. So you think about this for a second. Man, thank you very much. Appreciate it, my brother. Bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The book always talks about that, and rarely is it reciprocated. When you're showing honor, where honor's due. You know what I mean? And, of course, Brother Rambo is here, and, we're hoping that, like we do with the communities. I was talking to the brother in the garage today, and I told him, I said, listen. I said, the way Straightway is built, we're not built here, so I can't manage all these communities. That's why we have heads in every single one of these communities. There's no way I can do it. These men are capable. They're spiritual. They're filled with the Ruach. You know, they can do it themselves. And because we're always in the process of trying to look for people who we can expand, just fellowship with, even to have fellowship with in them. And it, the most important thing is for all of us to be connected to Yah. Y'all know how we are. Y'all know how we are. And it sure is nice to have brothers and sisters because you hear so much negativity about us, but then nobody can ever produce facts. Now, I'm going to tell you what Satan does, the devil does. He knows, depending on the condition of your mind, he knows that he cannot get you with telling the truth. So he has to tell a lie because it depends on where your conscience is or your mindset is in order to try to get you to and persuade you from the way. But when you come here, you're going to see where the proverbial tire meets the road or the foot meets the ground. You're going to literally see the truth. And we don't change anything about the way we are when people come. We are all what you see. That's just all there is to it. So it's nice that him and his wife trekked across the country, or we'll say across a few states, in order to be here to get here with us.
7 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's pretty nice, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to break bread with them and to be in fellowship with them. And I do appreciate all the gifts. And guess what? This thing is still holding up the truth right there too. So does it go back to black?
It will. It will. When it gets cold, it goes back to black.
Isn't that something?
It disappears.
Ain't that how something you are? When you get cold, your heart goes back to black. Man, but you think about this. So we know the hot topic of the hour is First Church, or we can't even say Pastor Jennings, because Pastor Jennings have other people answering for him. And my elders was right. They were right. It's not going to happen. You even stated that, right? You don't believe it's going to happen. The reason why it's not going to happen is because, listen, you can't defend the indefensible. Did I make sense on that?
Yeah.
You can't do it. Listen, they get up and they tout, scream, and holler. Been doing it for years. That a woman cannot be remarried if she is divorced. And we're telling you clearly that's not according to Torah. It's not according to Scripture.
That's false.
It's false in every way, shape, and form. That is church tradition. They swear up and down that they're not Catholics. But I beg to differ. I don't care. You know, there's an old saying in the world. If it walks like a duck, if it looks like a duck, and if it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. So if you're doing the very same thing that the Roman Catholic Church is doing, don't tell me and speak another language. You can speak all the language you want to on you, but those of us of an informed mind know what manner of spirit you of and where you're coming from.
Yep.
And, of course, the acid test, and that's what the Sabbath day is. It's a test commandment. It's a literal test commandment. And you're still trying to sit up and twist, warp, and distort the scriptures and try to make everybody believe that somehow Yahweh Elohim, who changes not, is all of a sudden he done sanctioned the first day of the week for a day of rest. Don't get it confused. They always want to make it talk about worship. You worship the Father every day. Worship Yahshua every single day.
Yeah.
That's what you should do. Worship the King every day.
Yeah.
But when you turn around and you start talking about that he is unchanged and all this other stuff, no. You're wrong. That's how we know that you're Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
You are Catholics.
Yeah.
Literally. Now, you may not say that you are, but in function, you're Catholics. And that's just all it is to it. It's really that simple. So what we're coming to now is that apparently there's a guy out there by the name of C-Rock and another guy named Tony Harbin. Apparently they must be his front men, the young front men. And I'll say it over and over again. Is anybody in Straightway, any brothers, any sisters ever made any videos? I said, young men, dishonoring, disparaging Pastor Jennings? No, Elder Kabir just basically did a video, called him out, you know what I mean? And people do that all the time. We see Pastor Jennings call people out all the time. Now, it's your turn to get called out. Now, all of a sudden, we want to go duck and run and hide behind young men. And can't answer for yourself. What's your thoughts about that?
Isaiah chapter 3. Yeah, ruled by young men.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a classic example of Jezebel signing Ahab's name so that she could go take Naboth's vineyard.
That's some good speech right
there. She's going to do it in his name.
In his name. Mm-hmm. So basically what Brother Rambo is saying, that these two men are actually doing things in Pastor Jennings' name.
Yeah.
That he doesn't have the chutzpah, that he has, now he doesn't have the honor or integrity to do himself.
Right.
So, y'all are right. The debate is not going to take place because now they're asserting and they're grasping for straws. But what they do, you know, they can make anything out of anything. Oh, he wants to fight. Now, listen, man, I'm old, man. I'm getting older and older every day. I promise I am. I use the same passion as any other preacher that believes he's a standard for truth.
Yes.
I use the same passion.
I mean, I should.
I mean, after all, that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
But at the same time, listen, how many times y'all heard me say we would love to have a civil debate? A civil conversation.
Yes.
We want to do it because, see, I'm telling you right now that there's no way that they're standing on truth. They're standing on church tradition.
Right.
They're not standing on truth. And that foundation is not only cracked, but it's tore down in rock. Period. Excavated. Just gone by the side. So one of the ministers that used to be in the first church congregation by the name of Minister Curry, L. Curry, K. Curry, don't quote me on that, but I'm close to it. He used to be a member of it. And he stated, after being there, he said that Pastor Jennings will not debate anyone that has any scholarly integrity.
No credentials.
Anybody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
He does what he said. What you will see, and it's a fact, you will see it. You'll see him debating a homosexual. I don't call it a debate. I call it a hollering and screaming shouting match behind the pulpit. Y'all not going to see me sit up there and invite people up behind the pulpit. We're going to scream and holler at each other to try to prove a point. And then when I get tired of your arguments, I have the security guards to go ahead and escort you out from there because we're done. We're tired of listening to you. Should be in a professional format. All right? Huh?
Definitely, yes.
I mean, there's an affirmative side to it, and there's definitely an opposing side. So we're trying to do this thing professionally and set up a moderator so that people have equal time to be heard. Now, I got plenty of brothers that's more than capable to speak on the subject of police, because police is involved in this, because it all tends together. And we know that Brother Rambo over here I would call them one of the modern-day presence men of truth concerning this subject. And I was telling the Israelites, I said, man, I know this subject of divorce and remarriage just like I know the subject of polygyny. And you know just as well as I do. I was surprised when you said, okay, and I'll also put up 10 grand. That makes it 20. We cannot get not one scholar from one end of this earth to the next with all these dissenting, and opposing phrases, words, content, whatever you want to call it. We can't get nobody to come out from behind the camera or come out from behind their seminary or come out from behind whatever rock that they're under since they're so adamant about the truth that they say they represent. We can't get nobody out here in front of us.
I've even offered to give up all of my study notes. I'll let you have every access to everything that I've done so that you can take a look at it. Mm. Every book that I've read, I'll give you all the notes. You can make look, find the hole. Find the hole.
That is called integrity. I had a few brothers that actually meant to me, Brother Pete. They said, Pastor, don't put out. Don't give them too much. And I said, no, man. Give them, put it all, put up as much as you can out there. The most out of y'all is vast, right? So come on, we can't exhaust this subject. It's inexhaustible. I mean, come on, you can't do it. People have been writing about these subjects for centuries, and it's still not exhaustive. But I say you want to put it out there because the truth is you hope that they would evaluate the facts, look at this, and then come to an honest conclusion. And yet they won't look at it. You know the reason why? Saving face.
Yeah.
Because you're getting ready to tear down the foundation of lies that's been permeated for decades. And they're not about to agree with what the truth is when that foundation has been built up on lies.
Well, and anybody that steps up, if they lose, they're not losing $20,000. They're losing their livelihood. They're going to lose their ministry. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose all credibility. Done. Mm-hmm. They'll be vilified as the person that lost the war.
That is the truth. So if the price is too much, and what they're doing is using mental gymnastics to try to convince you that, well, look, he said this. He threatened this. Or he said, all that is just an alibi. That's all it is. To go ahead and to exit left from this, and I continue to hear and continue to keep talking about what I want to talk about. They want to ignore the whole situation. So, to the contrary, watch this. The purpose of this is to get the truth out there. Because when I looked at my archives, I think I only had one video where I spoke briefly on divorce and remarriage. And I said, I don't have hardly any content out there. So guess what? It's time to put it out there.
Yep.
So it's out there on the information highway. And now people have something else other to grasp at than just Pastor Jennings out there hollering and screaming and making boxing gestures behind the pulpit. You know, saddle boxing behind the pulpit and all that old other stuff. So, we're here. We want to have a scholarly debate, a dialogue. We truly do. For the sake of honoring the truth.
I mean.
Sake of honoring the truth.
Yeah.
What say you?
If I'm wrong, I want to be corrected.
You got the same center every week. Same spirit. And that's the way we are. There's no such thing as us having pride so lifted up and so heady that we can't be corrected. Listen, we all know we're fallible and flawed. And there are things that I have believed in the past to be the truth. But after careful evaluation, after doing due diligence, being led by the Spirit, like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Uh-oh. Can't preach that no more. Can't preach that no more. Can't teach that no more. I mean, we were just talking today, and you said you pastored church for over 10 years. Is that right? And you came across this truth of polygyny. And you know what? If you can still remember it, that was a good way that you put it, too, when you started talking about, okay, when you come to this truth, you have this level. And then you get to the mid-level where you talk about the Sabbath and all.
Well, it's like the adversary comes against truth harder depending on how much that truth is a threat to what he does. And so little things like stealing, lying, even murder, those are bad, but that's not a big deal as far as the adversary is concerned.
Right.
If you start coming to the truth of, and for me, it was the feasts first. I figured out that Christmas was rooted in paganism 500 years before Yeshua, Jesus, was born. They were practicing Saturnalia with all of the accoutrements that we have in Christmas. So that was the first thing, and then it was Shabbat, and that was the point that the church told me, we don't need you anymore.
Left hand of fellowship.
Yeah, all of that. lost friends, lost family, the whole nine yards. You know the deal. That's the way it works. And then food, and so we got that cleaned up. And it wasn't until about 5 years later that I started understanding polygyny. And that was a whole second level where here I am now. I've got a home fellowship, and we're growing. We've got ministry in the Torah-keeping community. That comes up, and again, we lost a lot of friends. I was ostracized by lots of people. But it's a truth that the adversary has to defend that truth even more vigorously than the Shabbat and food and feasts, because it is the foundational truth to everything.
We'll agree.
And where is that foundation?
Headship and authority.
The Garden of Eden. Where did he? what did he attack? He didn't attack Shabbat. Shabbat was already in place. He attacked the authority structure. Am I right?
You're right.
That's what he did. He attacked the authority, and that's the very thing that we see collapsing in this country, or has been collapsing, and now we see all of this culture devolving into utter chaos because we've inverted the authority structure.
So we went from a patriarchal society to a matriarchal society.
Right.
Because there used to be a time, like you had mentioned earlier in our discussion, that in ancient Rome, as soon as they gave the women the ability to vote, the whole
150 years later, the country was the empire was dead.
And of course, what's happened in America?
Not quite 150 years. A little over 110 years ago, we gave the right to vote. And it's the difference in the way men and women are wired. Mm-hmm. Women are wired to nest and to protect immediate, and they'll sacrifice the future for the immediate.
Every time I heard that before. Y'all
heard me say that? Men
do the opposite. We'll sacrifice the present for the future.
Y'all hear this?
This is straight up facts right here. See, again, same spirit.
Yep.
Because it's the truth, the spirit of truth in whom the world cannot receive.
Let me say this. My journey into Torah began when I was at a place of trying to put pieces together, and I said, I prayed, I said, God, I don't care what it costs, I just want truth. And I've gone back to that prayer more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would challenge anybody that's listening,
say it.
Don't trust what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trust what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Father with an honest heart and say, God, I don't care what the price is. I'm willing to pay any price. Just show me truth. And then you better buckle up. But I'm going to give you a warning. If he shows you a truth and then you say, I don't know, I'm not willing to take that one, that's the end of it. He's not going to show you another truth. He's not going to say, okay, let's go behind door number two. You're done. The game's over. That's it. Okay? You got to understand, you're dealing with the Most High, but you've got to be willing to humble yourself before him and say, I will pay any price. Just show me truth. And it may be an expensive journey, but it will be the most valuable journey you ever take off on. I guarantee you. The reward for some of
those. They are.
Amen.
This almost sounds like an echo chamber, don't it? It literally, truly does. I mean, really, because it, when you have the spirit of truth, it's one path. It's going one way. And when you're in that direction, you speak the same things. You just speak the same things. And you people over at First Church, you better not pray that prayer. Because if you do, First Church is getting ready to close their doors.
theater and close it. Because you're going to be able to see everything so clearly. But, you know, I don't think in this day, this time and hour, that people are willing to pay the price. The price of truth.
There are a few.
Just a few, a remnant. Only a remnant. Because remember, many are
where's
called.
That, where's that show? Give me that show.
Many are called, and few are
chosen.
There it is.
There were a whole lot of men that came down to the river before Gideon addressed them.
Yeah, a whole bunch of them.
30,000 of them. And Gideon says, who's afraid?
There you go.
And 20,000 of them left. 10,000, 20,000. And then he said, okay, now let's go for a test. And it was left with 300.
Can you believe it? After the test, now. That's the way y'all does, man. Yeah. That's the way y'all does.
Religion is one of those sifters. It's a test.
Y'all hear this, right? So y'all go ahead and count it out. First church, just like the elder said, they're not going to accept it. What they're doing is they're looking for or out. And so they have to be able to save face in order to get out of this. So just don't look forward, but we're going to continue to keep telling this truth. And the more content you put out, the more we continue to keep putting out, we'll have out there somebody be able to one day click that video that's on the right-hand side and go bing, and then the most I will get.
That's right. Yeah, we're not going to stop.
Oh, no.
We're not going to stop.
The only thing that's going to make us stop is when y'all calls us to the king.
That's right.
Other than that, we're going to keep on pressing on and pressing on. But I do want to let you know, listen, Pastor Dennis, we're here, and listen, we're not going to hide behind a TV camera or pulpit or behind your little young minions. You need to come out here and play if you want to play. I hear you talking big mess behind that pulpit. But the truth is, I'm going to say it again, you're a yellow-bellied coward. That's all there is to it. You're a coward. Ain't I right? It's just a fact, man. Listen. I'm a lover of truth so much that I'm willing to stick my neck out there. You know, like a turtle. When a turtle wants to go somewhere, it has to stick its neck out. When it wants to stay put and protect itself, it protects itself in its shell by sticking its neck back in. I want to stick my neck out there, so if I am wrong, if there's a predator that can get to my neck in order to get inside the shell, they can do it. I want truth to destroy any part of this man that is left over, so it don't ever interfere with myself or the people who are listening to me to get to the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
And we're not proving it by our lifestyle, literally by our lifestyle. So we're not going to be on this subject all day long. We're going to talk about a few other things. We're going to talk about the importance of community, which that's the way Yah is leading him. And you can tell when you listen to his video that he was so looking forward to being here, because when you come to a place like this, what it does is it opens up your understanding the more so, and the more how Yah begins to deal with you more so, with some of the things that it could not be so clear in your mind. Now they become crystal clear, and you can go implement these same things. He just got finished telling me when I was showing the big Berkey in the diner hall. He said, hey, you know what? I can show you how to make a big Berkey for $80. I said, we didn't show me. No, come on, talk to us.
Yeah.
I mean, a few things. I have to walk around the land. Show me a few things we could do. Straightway is not the thing that, okay, we've been doing this for 24 years, something like that, living on your boots on the ground. Everybody has to have a teachable spirit. You don't know everything. You don't have it all. We're here to be helpers one to another in the fear of Yah. El Rupa says, love you, friend. Jennings is a straight chicken. And he puts three chickens up there. He is a chicken, man. We already know that, man. We're going to continue on because people are getting free, though. They're literally getting free in this. As we continue on in this truth, we hope that many of you have the spiritual integrity and fortitude to be able to stand on this. Because, listen, I did a video So I put it on YouTube, a page. I put it on YouTube then. I said, leave your family.
YouTube.
I said, leave it. Now, I'm not giving you a command. You ain't got to worry about it. Your family's going to leave you. If you start keeping these commandments, you ain't got to worry about it. They're going to make the separation all for themselves. It's going to be there. It's just part and parcel to it. And that's why I recommended people. You ever heard of the story called Pilgrim's Progress?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so John Bunyan, if y'all, man, they got animated ones out there, but if y'all would actually watch that story and that account, this man left his wife and children cold turkey for life, life, eternal life. For the king. And he went through many trials and tribulations along the way. That's what everybody else don't want. They want a comfortable journey to the kingdom. Abraham didn't get a comfortable journey to the kingdom. Joseph definitely didn't get a comfortable, and no, he wasn't comfortable at all.
No.
Moses either. Anything that is worth the reward, you've got to pay the price. And let's just tell the truth. Here in America, we're so used to comforts that we've insulated ourselves from any type of pain. Perceived or not, naturally or spiritually, we're trying to take the path to least resistance. And it just simply ain't going to work. The Most High God always tests his people.
Amen.
He tries us. And he don't just do it once. He does it all the time. All the time. So, it's not going to take place. They've already said it. They put out a live video or whatever. So, anyway, we're going to move on from there. How about that? No, we're still going to keep talking about it, though. We're still going to keep on talking about it.
Well, we've got some more response videos coming up. I got some hot ones in the queue.
And we love them, too. We love them, too. Good, good. Because, again, how do you argue with truth, though?
Right.
Are you following? And I tell you what I'd like to view, I'd like to do, if I can get approval from you, is take some of your videos, put them on my channel, put your link in
absolutely
the description.
Absolutely.
So y'all hear I got permission, right? And that way even more exposure gets out there.
Absolutely.
Are you following me?
Yep.
To bring even more truth. Now I did, we talked about them earlier, and I don't mind just the way I talk, just the way I do. I did have a, I meant to tell y'all this about Brother Rambo here. So apparently him and I both were in the 82nd Airborne Division. He said when he came in, he said, I meant to bring my parade so I could show it to you too, right? And not only that, he's a Ranger too as well. He's a Ranger too as well. I graduated almost at the top of the class, but I think, what did you say, number one or number two?
I wasn't number one. I was number one in the class going into Florida, and I got medically recycled, and then I passed everything in Florida, but the medical recycle wouldn't allow me to take it out.
Wow, yeah. For real. It happens.
It does. And at the time, I was like,
yeah.
But I look back, and it was a blessing from the Father, because had I gotten that, I probably would have gotten a ticket to Camp McCall, and it would have been a punch ticket,
yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't have followed the track that he's led me on.
That's true.
But I look back now at what I learned. There are so many lessons I learned in Ranger School and learned in the military,
mm-hmm,
that the Father was using that to prepare me as a warrior for now.
And that's true.
A lot of times we despise the challenges and the things that we go through,
yeah,
in our youth and in
true
our middle years,
true,
not understanding that those are all,
yeah,
preparatory for our purpose, which is really later on.
Yeah. No, very
true. No, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's flat out beautiful.
Yeah. Don't despise the difficulties you're going through. Endure,
yeah,
it. Come on. Grow from it. Learn. Be joyful in the midst of it, recognizing that the Father will redeem even the dry places for his purpose.
Now, hear that? Don't run from it.
Yeah.
Great joy and great tribulation, huh?
Yeah.
You think about that for a second. So, I mean, it's obvious you can tell that, I mean, because I'm a total different man here on the land as I am behind this camera. Anyway, you probably already knew that anyway. Like I said, I'm not trying to fool nobody. I use that as a figure of speech. But a lot of people out there don't know. They get all stirred up when they hear, is he talking like that? Why are you calling and screaming? Why are you talking like that? But anybody has been in any type of discipline, you already know what I'm doing. You know what I'm doing. It's part and parcel of the dynamic of preaching, teaching. That's what it is. And they're not so easily persuaded just because the inflection of somebody's voice, and I'm like, they're dialed in to the frequency of truth.
Ooh,
yes. They want to hear that clear signal.
Yeah.
If you understand what I mean.
Yes, sir.
So thereby we can grow.
Yes, sir.
And it's obvious. I mean, I'm sure you can always tell that we're definitely men here. We're men around. You can definitely tell that. We're definitely men. I say that, and yeah, I'm going to make a dig here. Anytime you can get behind this camera, and I'm telling you, social media has made a lot of incredible hoaxes out there.
True.
A lot of them. But you find out they're not incredible hoaxes. If you won't come face to face with the people who oppose you and the truth that you say that you are so Securitarian, then that stuff is systemically wrong.
Preach.
It really truly is. Ellis the Hebrew says, Shalom, saints. I notice every time Straightway goes live, Geno Minions go live to divert his people from watching Straightway or hearing the truth. Well, you're right, and partially you're right. Let them go live because it's obvious that there are going to be some, no matter what they're saying, they're not going to say anything they ain't heard before. They are going to come back over here. We already know because, I was stuck at, 209 forever and a day for about a year and a half. I'm like, what's going on? I mean, if YouTube would have been honest, I should have been at least at 500,000 subscribers by now. But they have done so much through these so-called algorithms and everything else. Isn't it amazing? Within the last week, how long have I been on this General Genius thing? About 9, 10 days? Something like that.
2 weeks.
400 brand new subscribers. 50 brand new subscribers on Patreon. What's really going on? You understand what I mean? What's really going on? By the way, don't you have a Patreon channel?
I do.
And what? Put a plug in.
So the Patreon channel is growing. We've got one of the, probably the biggest perk is a Telegram group that all patrons are participants in so that we can have discussions on things that we normally wouldn't have discussions out and about.
Mm.
Or we can, you know, a lot of interaction, not just between myself, but there are a couple of plural families in there that are Torah keepers that can interact directly with. So that's there, and our goal is to be doing some interviewing of more families. Our goal is to be doing a lot of teaching and stuff. I guess you could call it teaching, but just bringing more truth there that sometimes can't be put completely out on the
mainstream.
Yeah.
Because it's just not going to be easy. Well, we don't care about being accepted or not, but it's there to actually to speak to an audience more serious-minded, to help encourage them to be more so. Well, anytime you want, you can call my family on to help do that and forward the mission or any of the family, plural families in Straightway.
I would love to interview you guys at some point.
any given time. Make no way.
That would be fantastic.
We just are lovers of that truth.
Amen.
Now, we did the broadcast the other day, and we showed you, how many did I get up to it on Let the Elders Speak, Hold Fast Wednesday? Now, every bi-weekly, we have a broadcast called Let the Elders Speak, Hold Fast Wednesday. And,
yep.
And this one, I was just off the cuff, and I came up with like six different places in Torah and Scripture that gives you the reason why, or either y'all was a divorcee or the rightful man to divorce. And I think the world is taking it wrong. And I had to make sure I made that statement too as well. Listen, I don't like divorce.
No.
Nobody likes divorce.
So true.
But when you have, this is one thing that I said to the brother at the garage today. You remember this teacher? I said this at the garage today. I said, the whole purpose of the divorce law in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 through 4, is that so that the Most High Yah doesn't let the advantage take authority or abuse the disadvantage.
Right.
Now, I didn't coin that statement. I probably read it somewhere or something, heard it. But you have a lot of disadvantaged people that when you have an authority structure that's over them and they don't have a voice, the Most High God has to step in.
Right.
And that be able to adjudicate these matters fairly across the board so that people don't abuse their power.
And that's exactly the point that Yeshua was making in Matthew chapter 19. Everybody wants to bring up Matthew chapter 19 and say, oh, no, Yeshua's teaching against, he's teaching monogamy right
now. Here we go. Come on with it.
But the chapter, if you look at it, it actually says, the subject in your English translation says divorce. It says four times in that passage that they're talking about divorce. Okay? Now, technically, if you look behind that, they're talking about sending away. It's not even directly about divorce. And Yeshua's comment is that Moshe gave them that opportunity for the hardness of their hearts because that wasn't God's design in the beginning. His design was to stay clean, not to be dissolved, right? And so that's the point of the passage. Yeshua says you can't dissolve and send her away and then not release her and prevent her from being able to be remarried. That's the whole passage right there.
Here, you can sit right here.
I like this. No, you were right, though. You talked about the fact that Yahweh is a divorcee. He didn't want to be a divorcee. He didn't want to send the house of Israel away. But Jeremiah chapter 3, he sent the house of Israel away, but he did not send the house of Judah away, indicating two things. One, we understand divorce, and that he was willing to, the Mashiach was willing to die so that the house of Israel could return. And two, it tells us that he was a polygynist. He had two brides.
Go to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8.
Now, here we go. Christendom will say, oh, no. They didn't become two brides until they got to Mount Sinai. No, you might want to go look at Ezekiel chapter 23, because in Ezekiel chapter 23, he says there were two daughters of one mother who bore his sons and daughters, and they were his before they left Mitzrayim. We got the cool down crew over here.
So let's go to passage, Jeremiah 3, verse 8, and then Ezekiel 23, verses 1 through 4.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to hit both of them. So you can hear that he's not speaking out of the side of his neck. Get your scriptures and follow along. Before we cover that, Ruffy, this is what trips me out more than anything, is this. These so-called scripture type of a people, the first thing that they do is they run straight to the New Testament to try to substantiate their false doctrine. I tell you, y'all praise me. Let me stop that.
The next thing you know, I'm telling y'all, I know what's going to happen. Y'all see me doing this behind the pulpit too many times. I expect a contingency.
To come up there with some oil and hands laid up there and get this shit out of me. For real. But you think about this. The first thing that they do, and we already went over how he twists, warp, and distort all the scriptures. And nothing applied to nothing. So they tried to run to the New Testament. What they call the New Testament. We're going on with them, playing a game, to establish doctrine. One of our sayings around here is that the New Testament, we're saying it the way that they say it, not because we believe it like they do, but the New Testament is no place to establish law. Law has already been established.
Agreed.
It didn't say to the testimony in the New Testament.
Right.
It didn't say that.
To the law and the prophets, where there's no light in them.
There it is.
And
no, it doesn't say sunlight. It says
no light.
Light.
No light.
That's what the book says.
That's Isaiah 8:20. If I'm, you know what? We're going to go to those two scriptures.
I quoted that to a pastor one time, and he came unbelievable.
He probably didn't want to do violence to you.
That was just about the end of our conversation. That was a very long one.
But see, this spirit is anti-Messiah because it's so against the truth of Scripture. Go to Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8. I'm going to show you something. Read verse 7 and then read verse 8. Then we go to Jeremiah 3:8 and then Ezekiel 23. 1 through 4. Here we go. Watch this one develop this, okay? Hey, I appreciate all you people out there that are donating, all you Israelites and you saints, and then those of you who have been converted from lies. I'm trying to see if there's any more comments in here. We got Ellis the Hebrew. Of course, we got Elder Rupa's chicken. There he is, this chicken thing. Free. Where do you get those chickens from? Zachariah Israel, he did that, and then Present Truth. Appreciate it. Thank you, Present Truth.
Present Truth. Shout out, brother. I know who that is.
Present Truth. You know who he is. Good.
I know who that is. So,
now,
brother.
All you women over at First Church, I noticed some of you over at Burning. I know you are, but you can be set free. Listen, the Catholic Church limits the priests. As a matter of fact, they put chains on the priests. That's the reason why they have a problem with homosexuality and boy loving, because of their doctrine. And some of you are in pain, extreme pain, because of church tradition and church doctrine. Listen, come out of that. So let's go ahead on. Psalms, Tehillim 47 and 8. Read.
Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me.
Don't we read the same thing over in Hebrews? That's where the same thing is written. Now, here it is right here. Thank you, babe. Oh, it's good. Now, think about it. Here's the next thing right here. Go to verse 8.
I delight to do your will, O Yah.
Whoa. You delight to do what?
Your will.
So here's David. Dawid said he delight to do your will, O what?
Yah.
Read on.
Yeah. Your law.
Your what?
Your law.
That's what have you to believe. Your law is what?
It's within my heart.
And what did he say over in the covenant in Jeremiah 31:31? That he would write his what?
Law
in the inward parts.
Inward.
I mean, what is going on here? You understand what I mean? What is going on here? Now imagine, he had already quoted the prophecy of the Messiah. Did he come in a volume of the book?
Yeah.
And then he says, your law is written in my heart. And what is Christendom and everybody else who say they don't want to be Christendom, but they want to create a new religion called holy, but it's still Christendom, and do away totally with the law. Man, you know what? We already practice, but man, I'm thinking we're going to sing Judah again tomorrow. Just because to beat them off.
Yeah.
But also to give glory to God. All right? So Jeremiah, three. What you got? You got something, Pete?
Oh, no. I'm taking this.
All right. Jeremiah 3. Come on. Verse 8, read.
And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played to Holland also.
So here's Yahweh Elohim that has already given Israel a bill of divorce. So are we to believe Pastor Gino Genesis in First Church, or are we to believe what's written right here?
Mm-hmm.
Brother V just got finished saying, we've proven to you that the Most High Yah is a divorcee. And like he said, he did not want a divorce.
Correct.
But dang, after you turn around and you resist, after you turn around and continue to keep committing whoredoms and adulteries, keep on, and mind you, adulteries, you listen, you out here worshiping other gods, other deities, other mighty ones. You continue to keep doing it over and over and over and over again. Listen, I got to let you go. I've got to let you go.
Yes.
Just to prove a point. To my other wife.
That's it.
They don't want to hear that.
We. Woo. Come on.
They don't want to hear that. But it's the truth.
Right.
Now, you go all the other guy, yeah. 23:1-4. Come on with it. And remember, mind you, anytime y'all hear us using any passages of scripture, always read before and after to get in context. Because we're not going to do like First Church and everybody else do. Jump around from one place all over the other and then try to chain a doctrine together. The word is truth. It is what it is. It says what it says. And I believe, I'm going to say another church. I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to say something again that's going to put a dig on the First Church. I noticed something about Pastor Jennings and him. They like Merriam Webster. Is that her name, Webster? Merriam Webster. They like using definitions from the dictionary and don't like the scriptures defining themselves. Because I happen to believe that scriptures interpret scripture. Law, prophet.
Well, I mean, even if they're going to use dictionary,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to look at the word adultery. Don't use a modern dictionary. Just go back 150 years. The dictionary will tell you it's when a woman breaks wedlock. It's not. It doesn't say when a man breaks wedlock. No. Even until 150 years ago, you know, that was common culture. There was an understanding. They didn't accept polygyny, but they understood that adultery can only happen with a married woman. It can't happen. It's impossible to happen with a single woman.
First Church, you just been shown to be a liar again.
I mean,
because they teach that if your husband, no, notice how they talk, your husband, as if you are in ownership. No. The speech is even long.
Yeah.
Are you following that? Y'all following that?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
that have fears. You following?
Yes,
they do this over and over and over and over and over again.
And it's not just them. It's Christendom.
It's Christendom.
They're the example, but yes.
They do it.
Yeah.
Over and over again. You can't just go around. Well, they're going to do it anyway. Y'all, you follow me. Read on.
The word of Yah came again unto me, saying, Son of man, there were two women.
No, how many?
Two. The daughters.
Wait a minute. We only got one. The church. That ain't what it said right here, though, is it? There were two women.
Son of man, there were two women.
Mm-hmm.
The daughters of one mother.
Two women, daughters of one mother. Come on.
And they committed whoredoms in Egypt.
Whoa. Substantiating exactly
yep.
what he says.
Yep.
Putting a silver stamp on what he says. Everybody only reads about the children of Israel, the children of Israel, the children of Israel, when it's written, over and over again. But Yezekiel is up there telling you know that the Most High Yah viewed them
yep.
as two. That was before Jeroboam and Rehoboam.
Come on, yes. Long time.
Long time before, man.
Before they got to Mount Sinai,
mm-hmm.
when they stood at Mount Sinai, he viewed them as two women, the house of Israel and the house of Judah.
There you go. And that's the reason why I said, and they committed whoredoms in Mizraim.
Yeah, right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's where they committed whoredoms.
Yeah.
And they committed whoredoms in their what?
In their youth.
Come on.
There were their breasts pressed.
Mm-hmm.
And there they bruised the teats of their virginity.
Read on.
And the names of them were Aholah, the elder, and Aholabah, the sister. And they were mine.
Whoa. They plural.
Mm-hmm.
Were mine. One.
Ownership.
I guarantee you they won't never read these.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain this? Huh?
Well, and I was going to say, this is also a significant finger into Leviticus chapter 18:18, where a lot of people use that as a verse that says, oh no, polygyny can't be done because it says you can't marry two sisters. But right here, God did it.
He did it
right there.
He did it.
Yeah.
And the one reason why they don't read 18:18 right
Correct.
Because he's talking about, these are sororal sisters, okay? But these are sisters that are not in conflict with each other.
Right.
There's no battle. There's no fight. There's no envy. There's no jealousy that's going on. Right. That's where they miss it at.
Yeah. Yeah, the intent is to vex.
Okay. There you go.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
To vex. To vex.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, if the intent is to vex, don't do it. But if there's no intent, it's not a big deal.
And let's explain that. We're going to explain, okay, so let's say you are a husbandman, a father, let's say a husband, and you are with a wife, and she has a sister, and your wife is just not cutting the mustard, not doing exactly everything, you know what I mean, just right, but... You know how sometimes men get bitter against their wives, even though the book tells you don't be husbands. Come on, love your wife. Don't be bitter against them. You say, you know what? In your heart, within yourself, I'm going to marry her. And you do that for the intent to vex the principal or the first wife.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sin because you're creating division in the blood family.
And boys get to... See, y'all see? Uh-oh. Y'all do understand this is unfair, right? Brother, you understand you put both of us together on these platforms right now? This is trouble. This is bad. This is extremely bad for the world out there. But you hear it, though, right? It's just flat out, it's just truth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right? So let's go back to Yezekiah. Was we at Yezekiah?
Yeah, verse 4.
Let me go there. Let me get there real quick. 23. All right. And her names were?
Mahola, the elder, and Aholibah, her sister. They were mine.
That's the key part right there. And they were
mine.
Read.
They bear sons and daughters. That's where their names.
Oh, here we go again.
Samaria is Aholah. And Jerusalem, Aholibah.
It's amazing how y'all do today. Go ahead. There you go.
Israel has to choose.
That's what he was dealing with in his day. Over and over again. Samaria, Jerusalem. Samaria, Jerusalem, the house of Israel, and the house of Judah. Judah consists of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense to us because we live this word. It don't make sense to the world because you've been Christian dumb. You get that right. Christian dumb. It makes no sense.
But here we go. I would wager that First Church claims to be a New Covenant church.
They do.
Let's go to the New Covenant for just a minute.
Let's go.
Jeremiah chapter 31, verse, let's start at
31.
Yeah, 31.
Behold, the days come, says Yah, that I, Yah, will make a new covenant.
Stop right there, right? That's what First Church claims.
New covenant.
Yeah, new covenant.
So a lot of times churches will preach the new covenant, but they don't bother to go read it. It would help to read and see who it's with and what it's saying. But we're going to talk specifically about the fact that it teaches polygyny. Go ahead. What you say?
That I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel with the house of Judah.
Now, we already have found out, according to the prophet Yezekiel, that there were two. And he viewed them that way in Mizraim.
Right. Keep going. This next verse is a good one.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke.
All right.
Although I was a husband unto them, said,
I was a husband unto
them.
The new covenant says that Yah That's too loud.
Mm-hmm. So, I think it was on Whole Fans Wednesday, right? Were you able to see the last broadcast?
I did not.
Okay.
Continuously.
So check this out. Last broadcast. We know that operating Hebrews 8:8, starting in verse 8, it starts off sounding like it's quoting this passage verbatim. But you know what it left out? What you just got finished expounding on. Although I was a husband unto them.
Really? I've never known that.
Hebrews, come on, we're going to go back to chapter 8. We'll start at verse 8. We're like, why in the world would they leave that important part out? Penmanship, Jeremiah 8:8, the penmanship of the scribe is in vain. Y'all have to realize when the penmanship has been enacted.
Well, and anybody who's got a grain of intelligence, if they read a quote from the Tanakh in the New Testament, they need to go back and read the context, the full context in the Tanakh, because they did not have chapter and verse numbering, and so they would use
right.
a line or a phrase. However, the longest quote in the New Testament is the passage we just read from Jeremiah. And it's put in there twice. Chapter 10 also has that. And
you're right.
That particular phrase is not in there.
I wonder how I got wiped out.
Which isn't necessarily the person. We'd have to go back and look at the Septuagint, because
mm-hmm.
the Septuagint may be where the error is, not with whoever wrote the book of Hebrews.
Y'all
I'm not going to beat up Hebrews or the translators. It might be with the Septuagint.
Y'all hear it? Y'all hear it? So we need to go back and investigate that.
That would be worth looking into.
So, but you see that it still remains that the, although I was a husband, it's out.
When it was originally given by the Most High, he said, although I was an husband to them. I'm telling you, I'll be happy to be shown wrong at this point, because the price has been incredible to walk this out.
But when you hear what he
said,
it's so true.
It's watertight. In fact, I will be so bold as to say that all of Scripture is a polygynous love story.
Yep.
All of Scripture is a polygynous love story. And here's the way it works. And show me this isn't how it works in real life. Okay? The one woman is kicked out of the house. House of Israel is kicked out of the house.
Come on.
Scattered to the nation.
She is.
The other woman is in the house, and she says, I'm not letting that one back in the house.
Yep.
Right? And at the same time, Judah says, I'm going to do things my way, not necessarily obeying the father, not walking necessarily the way he wanted the walking to be done. The other one comes back and says, I just want to follow the Messiah the way I want, you know, the way he wants me to follow. And Judah says,
you hear this?
Oh, hell no. You're not coming back in the house.
You hear this? Y'all hear this?
Is that what's going on?
Y'all, yeah, that's what's going on. That is what's going on.
So the father has to bring this to a head in order to bring both back into the house. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8 is about the woman, the gune, the divorced woman, making her, washing her robes and being made right so that she can then be brought back into the house.
Come on now. No, this is real.
Y'all hear
this?
It's a story of scripture, though. And when he brings the two back together, he takes them into his
house.
The New Jerusalem.
Up that chat room. They are lighting it up, man. We got a lot
of
people.
So did Yeshua talk about this?
He did.
Matthew chapter 22.
He did.
Matthew chapter 22. Go to Matthew chapter 22.
He did.
You're not going to see this in your English translation. It's not there. Give me the first two verses there.
And Jesus answered and spake unto them, again, by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. False.
The Greek says marriages.
Oh,
plural. That's gamos, not gamus. That's plural in the Greek. I'm just saying.
Come on.
I'm just saying. Yeshua, for that parable, is using a plural Greek word right there for marriages.
Mm.
Right here. Gamos?
Yeah.
And it's plural.
It is plural.
And he uses that same word multiple times in that parable. He uses that same word multiple times in that parable. But he does it again in a really interesting place. Go to Matthew chapter 25.
Oh, I like this. Hey, come on, let's go with it.
Matthew chapter 25, he does it again.
Which one? 10 verses?
Around, I think it's Matthew chapter 25, verse 10. That's the parable of the 10 virgins.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, and went in with him to the marriages. That's the plural.
Yeah.
That is gamos, not gamos. Or it's gamos, not gamos.
Oh, yeah, and the door is shut.
And the door is shut.
Wedding feast.
The five went in for marriages. It's the plural.
Man, you think about that. You cannot go. If you are one man and you are married to all these people, it cannot be a noun singular. Person to the person. It has to be plural.
Come on.
Well, surely he would have known what
he was saying.
Yeah,
sure, married you.
He's
yeah.
not going to, yeah.
Married me?
Yeah.
Yeah. You married you.
Yeah.
Married
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Marriages.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I those two, as well as a couple other proofs from Yeshua, are in a paper that I put on academia.edu titled Jesus' Perspective on Polygyny.
Are y'all hearing this?
Mm.
Academia.edu, Jesus' Perspective on Polygyny. I've got that on linked on some of the videos in my channel. And there's another one titled Paul's Perspective on Polygyny.
Now, I read halfway through that. Yeah.
Oof. Yep.
But we already know, though. I mean, you can just,
yeah.
you know, you got to do is look behind the words that they present in English. If it gives you a look behind the words that's in English, you'll see what it really truly means in Greek, and then it comes out clearly.
Paul teaches polygyny in multiple places.
He does.
His words, I think he has to do it carefully because of the Roman law and the Roman context that he's operating in.
Yeah.
But,
no truth.
Because it was against the law. But, yeah.
But not only that, we have literally a first century source right here in Josephus that would prove and substantiate what the apostles taught.
Yep.
We'll say that a little bit later. So check this out. We got a couple of scriptures we need to go back and revisit, right? A couple of words, right? But over in Mark, this is another thing, thank you, babe. This is another thing we bring out over and over again continually. So over in Mark, chapter 10. Here's another thing. Start at verse 29. No, let's start at verse 28 because I want to make a point here real quick. You and I have been talking about this today when we was on the land walking. Mark 10, 28. Read.
Then Peter began to say unto him.
What did he say?
No. We have left all and have
followed you. First church, you ain't left nothing. I guarantee your pastor ain't left a damn thing. I guarantee it's not. So therefore, he don't understand this law. Because Yahshua didn't walk around in penguin suits. I promise you he did. And soft clothing and manicured nails. And he did, man.
Come get your hands dirty.
Then say it again. He had a rock for a pillow.
Oh, we.
He got his hands dirty. He know how to build.
Come on.
Concrete, Hebrew.
Yeah.
He understood when he used his knowledge of concreteness as far as building and explaining things.
Come on, I see.
He didn't use abstract thought throughout the scriptures, and even when he was quoting them to try to get you to understand something so he could put some type of fairy tale in your mind.
Come on,
he didn't do that. The soul went forth to sow. No. What does that mean? Unless you're an agricultural people, you don't know what that means. You think the sower is, I go out and work for IBM and give me a paycheck and I go to Kroger's.
I read about it in the book.
There you go.
Watch a YouTube video.
There you go. I got knowledge. I have experience. You don't understand the parable of the wheat and the tares? What the hell? What does that mean? I guarantee you, Pastor Jennings don't know what that means. Know your minions. I guarantee you they don't know what it means.
It's time weeding and start figuring it out.
They say, Lord, we have left all to do what? To follow you.
And have followed you.
Now, watch this. We'll slow it down. Verse 29. Watch this. Watch this.
And Jesus answered and said,
what did he say?
Verily, I say unto you,
mm-hmm.
There is no man that has left house.
Left what?
House.
House.
Or brethren.
Brethren.
Or sisters.
Sisters.
Or father.
Father.
Or mother.
Mother. So far, we're talking about the immediate house, right? Okay. Or what?
Or wife.
Stop. Or what?
Wife.
Right. Or wife. Or wife. Wife. Yes. Right? Watch this.
Or children.
Or children. Or?
Or lands.
For
my sake and the gospel.
For my sake and the message. But watch this. Verse 30. There's something that's going to be left out. Something's going to be left out. Something is going to be left out. Read.
But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time.
In what time?
This time.
Right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we're following Yeshua. We're supposed to be getting this right now.
Right now.
If we're following Yeshua, we're supposed to be getting it right now in this time. What we're supposed to be getting?
Houses.
Now, wait a minute. If you go back 29, houses is singular. You go to 30, houses is plural.
Yes, sir.
That by advance.
Great point.
All right. Come on.
And brother.
And
sister.
No, wait a minute. Brother, you know, it's in the context because you can have quite a bit of brother, right?
Yeah.
And sisters?
And mothers.
Wait a minute. The first one, you only had one mother.
Yeah.
See, this one, you got?
Mother.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But watch this one. And?
And children.
Wait a minute. We skipped over something.
Mm-hmm.
No, where'd the woman go?
What if you're going to say wife, if you're going to continue on with the flow of it, it has to say wives. Now, we're just entertaining y'all because there's no word. Anyway, let's go on. You're getting what I'm saying, though. Wife and
lands.
Come on.
With persecution.
That's what everybody avoids. Right there. Paul told us in his writings that his perfection came through trials, tribulations, shipwrecks, and perils of countrymen, and perils of brethren, and perils of false brethren. He learned how to give thanks in every single one of them. Every single one of them brought him to perfection.
Hallelujah.
We may not like it, but it's the truth.
It is.
Emphasis added. So what happened to the woman? Jeremiah already told us, surely the penmanship of the scribe is in vain. So if Jeremiah warned us about this, you think that wasn't going to happen? If the Most High God didn't already say in the law, told it, listen, you better be careful. I hope that nobody, I'm going to lighten this up. Don't take away. Don't add to. What do you think man is going to do? Look, Eve. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Adam. Adam, you got no run of the mill. All you got to do is stay away from that one tree in the midst of, that's all you got to do. You good. You set. Create woman,
Wow, look at this. What about that? It was a test to see if you're going to obey and love him more than what he pulled out of you. You think about it, it was a test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Already, you are the authority. Listen, we wouldn't be in the crap that we're in today. If Adam would have said, you speak, you can't even say she speak more than foolish woman because he was the only one around. So I was getting ready to say it. But are you out of your mind? Did you hear what the Most High just got there saying? Even if Eve would have been of that, Adam still could have been able to make sure we all are saved.
Right.
But no, he listened to the
her,
woman.
Her eyes were not open until he ate. Yeah.
And it goes back.
Something else I think that needs to be considered with that passage is that the commandment wasn't don't touch. The commandment was don't eat.
Eat.
And so I don't know who added to, but ultimately the adversary, or maybe I'd have to go back and look at the passage, but I think the adversary asks her, and she says, we're not supposed to touch or eat. Well, as soon as she adds to the commandment, she now gives him leverage to question it.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I think we have to be careful anytime we add to the commandment, even if we're trying to fence a commandment to keep it safe, and traditional Judaism does this all the time, where they'll add a commandment outside of the commandment, but the problem is the fist becomes the bait for the adversary, because he can test you with the fist, and the Father's not going to protect you against the fist, because the fist isn't his commandment.
It's a test.
It
ends up in the ultimate test.
Creates problems.
So, okay, we got all this freedom, we have all this liberty, but then you're going to put a barrier up in front of me. So let's just test this. Let's test the limitations of it to see if it's really true or not. And that's what ends up happening. And same thing in this passage right here. So why would we verbatim quote everything, but then when we get to why, it's gone. But then he says, and in the world to come, what?
And in the world to come, eternal life.
So it means Isaiah 4:1, a lot of women are going to be redeemed here. Is that right? Redeemed? Isaiah 4:1. And he says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be
first.
This is getting pretty ugly for the opposition. It's getting extremely ugly for the opposition. They have no leg to stand on. No, literally. Because if you cannot view these scriptures for what it says, then you're coming under the auspices of another spirit. And let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 real quick. Matter of fact, I need to go over there real quick. 1 Timothy 4. Hey, Bro Pete, I'll let you handle the first three verses there. Teach, go ahead and read.
Now, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from thee, giving heed to seducing spirits.
To what kind of spirit?
Seducing.
Come on.
And doctrines of devils.
All right, so what's that?
We got problems.
Right?
I mean, seriously.
We have some serious problems.
Yeah.
Read on.
Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
And here it goes, right here. Read on.
Forbidding to marry.
So what's happening in these last days?
The Catholic Church traditionally says, or Protestantism traditionally points to the Catholic Church and says, oh, can they prevent the priest from marrying?
Yeah.
But that's not really what's going on here. What's really going on here is saying that a woman can't find a husband if they're not enough men. She's just stuck without. She's forbidden to marry. She's not allowed to find a good man. Look at Isaiah chapter 4:1, and a woman says, there's a righteous man. I'm going to lay hold of his 60. I'm even willing to do, whatever my part is to make it happen. in order to remove my reproach.
Reproach.
Mm-hmm. And in order to remove that reproach is be able to have seed from that man.
Yeah.
This is getting...
No, it's a watertight case.
Hey, you follow me? This is getting pretty ugly.
Yeah.
It's not getting pretty ugly. Call opposition. It is. It's true for us. It's clear.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. What do we have laid in waiting, though? We got a bunch of scriptures that we ain't even covered yet. We paused here, paused there, went here, went there. Do you remember? Let me try to pull them up.
And we had an agenda. We haven't done it.
Let's get the agenda. I know we were in Hebrews.
This is good stuff, man.
It is. Yes. Because you can always change.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. My scripture is very connected.
Line upon line. Precept on precept. Here a little. Yeah. There a little.
Amen.
I mean, that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over again. You cannot fight against the word. Ooh, James Dobson, he gives a hefty offering up here. He says, you are such a great blessing to all who have ears to hear. Your voice, Chef, thank you for being a beacon of light and sharing the wisdom you have. Been blessed with it. Hallelujah. Bless you, Brother James. That's a nice hefty offer right there. That was a good hefty offer right there. My question to you is, how is it that I don't have my eyes on, but I can read that? But when I put a book up in front of me, I got to put my eyes on.
I can read it out of you. I got to get my eyeballs.
Brother Antonio Robinson, Pastor and Pete, remind me of Simeon and Levi going out killing the men of Shechem. It just ain't fair. Y'all is good.
I would prefer Joshua and Caleb or something like that.
Listen,
but I understand the sentiment, absolutely.
I don't even know how to make an appeal or even put out an olive branch. Because you can't do it when you got these deceitful minions out there co-signing on the side and then manipulating wizardry and all you people out there, listen, we're trying to, in all fairness, can I use the analogy of boxing since I used to box? So can I use the analogy of boxing? How many times have y'all seen boxing on TV? You see boxing, I don't care if it's Ali Frazier. I don't care if it's Tyson, whoever he beat up on everybody. Listen, the first thing they would do is that they would have all these conferences. They would weigh in, and they would build up to it. Would they not?
Yes.
They would build up theatrics. Is that right?
Yes.
Theatrics, man. I'm talking about, I'm going to whoop you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it. You ain't going to do nothing. And they would throw bottles at each other. The management would get in. They would make chaos. What are they doing? They're building up the fight in order to sell more tickets. We want to build up the fight to bring more people.
That's it.
Involved.
Yes,
is that not what happens?
Yes,
they get in the ring. They fight it out. They battle it out. Oh, this ring went to Ali. This round went to Frazier. This ring went to Ali. This ring went to Frazier. Is that right?
Yeah.
Until somebody gets knocked out. They put them both together in the middle of the ring. They raise one as the victor of the heavyweight champion. When they get finished doing that, what usually happens? They both end up embracing each other, hugging each other. Why can't we do that in Israel? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't nothing personal the whole time. It was all about business. Y'all heard me, right? Y'all get it, right? It was all about business.
Yeah.
All about business. Ali even tried in the day to get a second fight with Foreman over business. He told Foreman, go
Ken Norton, whoop him up. And then we get a big purse for you and I. That's all Ali cared about. Now, Ali did win the first fight against George Foreman. Fact.
Mm-hmm.
He used his brute strength against him because he had no stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following?
Yes.
Nothing personal. Just business. Are we not about our father's business? Come on. That's all we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to win the fight, you're so secure. You're so right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's build it up. Let's get into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Is that a good analogy?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Is that not a good analogy? So if that's not a good analogy, then what? I mean, after all, we can't even get a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even get it promoted. That is pretty much what debate is. A debate is literally a fight. It's a verbal fight, verbal combat. And it's there for the audience to decide. Listen, in case y'all don't know, I'm going to tell y'all right now, this is how I teach straightway. Listen, I know you're already fond of me and what I teach. You've been a partakers of this benefit. Are you following?
Yes.
But listen, I want y'all to make sure that you use integrity and you listen extremely close to what the opposition is saying, because they could say something or they could stand for something. They could derail everyday things. Listen very close, because this is all about salvation and not men's ego.
Mm-hmm.
Have I not talked to y'all about that with the end of the base we've been to?
Yes.
Definitely. We've been to Virginia, Wisconsin. We done done all these things.
Yes. So true. Very true.
But Pastor Dell, how is polygyny a salvation issue?
Oh, hell. Listen, again, the Most High Yah is polygynous.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is built on polygyny. And don't give me this Genesis 2:24 real quick and stuff, because, again, Genesis 2:24, before y'all even go there, that was before the fall of man.
Mm-hmm.
That was before sin entered into the world. That you don't need no law where there's no sin.
Come on.
You don't need that.
Right.
This thing is salvation purposes. Come on.
But it's more central to a simple fact. It's truth. Either we stand on truth or we don't stand on truth. If religion is truth, stand on truth.
For the sake of honoring the truth.
If we're willing to negotiate that truth, we're willing to negotiate any truth.
That's in another area.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not willing to stand on whatever truth he hands you,
foundation,
you're not willing to stand on truth.
Preferences and convictions.
Come on.
What's the difference between the two?
Come on.
You have preferences, and that's where most of y'all argue y'all points from.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have a conviction, it's totally unmovable.
Yeah.
I don't care what they threaten you with.
Mm-hmm.
It could be imprisonment or even death.
Won't
you will not change that conviction no matter
that's right.
What.
Yeah.
Non-negotiable. Non-negotiable.
And I guarantee your pastor and all them can't stand on that. They will stand on church tradition. It's for the sake of honoring the truth.
Yep.
Y'all are politicians, man. I mean, why would he use simple parables as five wives, five fools, and they all were virgins? Don't this sound like the house of Israel?
Mm-hmm.
House of Judah? Half were here, the other half over there. I mean, and then all you people who fall in divorce and remarriage. You know, the Most High Yah did some extreme stuff, right? When he told the prophet Hosea, you go marry Gomer, the woman of whores.
Horse. Yeah.
Ooh, it gets really ugly then, don't it?
Yeah.
And if all you people that hate all the patriarchs that's in the Hall of Fame of Faith,
see,
such as Abraham,
mm-hmm.
Moses,
mm-hmm.
Gideon,
Jacob,
Jacob,
I love the fact you keep on saying Jacob. So you think about this. Can you imagine Jacob walking into the first church with Pastor Geno Genesis?
He wouldn't get past the door.
Who are you? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
One man, four women, all these sons. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, we come to church. No, you ain't not in here. Why? Because Shaq's doctrine says.
Or David.
Oh.
18 wives. 8 wives, 10 concubines. And they say, no, you can't come in here, but we're going to read the Psalms.
You better throw. Y'all might as well get rid of the Psalms, get rid of the Proverbs, throw away the first 5 books, just get rid of them all. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
Throw them out.
Yeah.
And of course, if you throw out the first 5, you get rid of law.
There she goes.
You get rid of Psalms, you get rid of the friend. No, a man after my own heart. You get rid of the man after his own heart. Now, y'all finish. It's a wrap. See, the problem is your theology. Go to Colossians 2:8 real quick. The problem is that. That's the problem. And it was reiterated. It was said again, and we were warned. We were literally warned. Read.
Beware. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
Somebody just really, truly using deceptive ways to deceive you. After the what?
After the tradition of men.
After the what? After the what?
After the rudiments of the world.
And what?
And not after Messiah.
Messiah never preached or taught any of this. Never did. Now hear this?
Yes, sir.
You hear this?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Tony Harvey! Hell, Rock, y'all should be glad I'm giving you a little bit of a shout-out. You know what? I got to get this spirit off of because I sensed it was coming in. Y'all hear?
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, boy. I probably won't eat delivers tomorrow, okay? Y'all better get ready to lay hands on me because I just like, whoa, boy. So I want y'all to listen extremely close here. That's bad. That's extremely bad. Think about how bad that is, though. Y'all so arrogant and so prideful to defend a position they literally can't even be defended. You're trying to defend the indefensible, but because you're so arrogant and the gall that you have is off of the proverbial chain, it really truly is. Go to Galatians 4:16 real quick. This is what Pastor Dow and men of truth have become to y'all. Read.
Am I, therefore, become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth?
That's what happened. And if you would hear the way these guys are going in, it's bad. They would do anything to defend Pastor Jennings over, I don't care what truth it is. Listen, sisters, if you have been given a bill of divorce, you are free to marry whom you will. And I'll quote what Paul said, only in the Messiah.
Yeah.
All right? Because the tribes are so scattered all over the place. You can't go out here into the world and just pick any old guy out there that would take you like many of you are doing.
Come on.
And try to save them.
Come on.
And not only that, sisters, you should be excited. You should be excited that the Most High Yah wrote and had the prophet Isaiah to quote and write Isaiah 4:1-2. And you know the reason why? Because you no longer have to settle for a piece of crap, man.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
No,
No, for real. You don't have to. You got something on this?
Well, I was going to say, you know, Paul says be married only in Messiah. But if there's a shortage of men that are in Messiah, you have to be willing to understand what Scripture says and be willing to share. Be willing to walk in submission too. And for the ladies that are that are married, you can go to James, where is it, in chapter 4 maybe, where it says if you see your brother in need and he needs a coat or he needs food and you don't give it to him, what's that passage in James? You know what I'm talking about?
Look it up real quick.
But it's exactly the same principle is there.
You see a brother in need.
Right.
Read on.
It's like James chapter 4, James chapter 5. If you see a brother, if you see a brother in need. Might be James chapter 3.
I'll look it up.
I'm sorry, chapter 2.
What verse?
Let's just start at, you can start at 2-1, but,
your thoughts?
Verses 2 and 3, the bottom line is this. It says, if you see somebody that has a need and you're not willing to meet that need.
That's 2 and 3. James chapter 2, verses 2 and 3.
For if they're coming to your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and they're coming also a man in vile raiment, and you have respect for him that weareth the gold, and say unto him, sit thou here. Let that still further down. Partiality.
That's it.
Is that it? Brother have need for
14
clothing.
What is it proper, 14, my brethren? So a man say he has faith and have not.
There it is.
There it is.
Faith save him. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food.
That's it right there. There you are. Right. So if there's a woman that has a need, and the woman that's in your house says no, she can't come here. I'm not willing to share. Well, do you really have faith?
Mm.
Are you really obedient to the Messiah? You understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
Yeah.
Because 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Exactly, which changed to exactly what he was saying because it's the same sentiment of the Spirit. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Read.
Hereby perceive we the love of Yahweh.
Read on.
Because he lay down his life for us, and we also lay down our lives for the brethren.
Verse 17, here it is.
But whoso hath this world's good,
you got all this world's good, but,
and sees his brother have need.
You can see a brother have need, and what do?
And you shut up your bowels of compassion for him.
There it is. And then what do you do?
Second witness.
There you go.
How dwells the love of Yah in him?
The love of Yah is not in you.
Right.
Period, point blank. Same thing. Same sentiment come from the apostles.
If you're not, so from the married perspective, if you're not willing to meet the need of somebody else who needs covering, a woman who's a single woman who needs covering,
you're
in deep sin. That's in deep sin.
Well, see, now you're starting something now. No, you're starting something right, though.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. But it's true. It's righteousness. We got to work on the righteousness.
Righteous. You're right, though, because you're in this society right here, the women have been so tainted by the monogamous perspective that they're literally at war with each other, mm-hmm. envy and strife and jealousy.
Yeah.
Rather than for them meet their roles, they're
Home
there to help
create.
Build.
Woo.
They're there to help meet
Come on.
The man's needs.
Yeah. From the time that they are born.
Yes.
They're taught to be a little princess, and the princess mentality is that they get the kingdom. They get the king and they get the kingdom.
True.
And that's just not the way it works.
That's good.
It's not the way it works.
That is good.
Come on. It's princess mentality.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
So
she wants to be on the throne.
There you go.
Well,
But the real true perspective of a real true Israelite woman is like what Dixon said. I want for my sister what I want
for myself. And you love your neighbor as yourself.
Dang.
Foundation.
Truth.
Can only say what the word does, man. The thing is all the pieces fit together.
It just fits.
It just fits over and over again. You cannot get away from it.
It just fits, man.
Perfect.
You can't stop it.
Come on.
Boy, this is good.
Yeah.
Man, this is good. First church, you finish. We'll just leave it at that.
Now let's talk about finish.
All right.
I'm telling you. And this is a warning. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. Okay? At least I don't think that. I have watched ministries who come face to face with the polygyny issue. And when they deny it or when they openly go against it,
curtains.
It's the end.
It's curtains.
It doesn't take long. The Father will close that door because you've denied him. I've watched it happen. I can name multiple ministries where I've watched that happen, where they make public statements against, and the next thing that happens is all of a sudden they start fading. They disappear. They become irrelevant. Non-issues.
We was talking about that in the garage today. We was talking about, literally, we was talking about the last two, Mike LeMay up in Wisconsin and Ron Young. He's no longer the head schoolmaster.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. They somehow either got demoted. I don't think he stepped down because you make a hell of a lot more money as head schoolmaster, right? And, that's a true statement. Mm. That's a true statement. We've seen people come to knock over the years. I can't tell you how many times. They continue to keep coming to knock, coming to knock, coming to knock, coming to knock. I mean, remember Paul and Barnabas, okay? And remember what he said? Remember what the teacher, the preacher, the rabbi said in that day? Listen, you better be careful as touching these men.
That's it. I preach to you.
Lest you find yourself fighting against Yah. Because what they're preaching and teaching, if it's of Yah, you cannot overthrow it. But if it's not of Yah, it'll come to naught. That's what he said. And straightway we're still running, getting ready to go on 25th year. So-called false doctrine, false teaching, and all this other stuff, and we watch our enemies fall. They keep on falling, keep on falling, keep on falling. And they keep on falling. And Isaiah 4:1 is a pure representation of the king. Brother Rambo.
Yes, sir.
So, you've had maybe a few hours of interaction with my own personal family. My own personal family.
Yes.
And we're the type of people that we can take constructive criticism. In other words, we don't wear our feelings on our sleeve. We usually, if we're criticized for something and it's righteous and it's shoe fit, we usually discern ourselves. And we usually, if it's true, we usually go to prayer to correct it. Because we're not living in our emotions and our feelings. So, you met my family, you saw my family. What are your thoughts of my family for the few hours, and I keep putting emphasis on that, that you've discerned?
I have met, my wife and I have interacted with multiple different polygynous families. And there are a handful that I would say from all outward appearances work very well together, very smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
They interact well, well integrated, well led, everything else, and you're easily in that handful. But here's the thing. It's obvious that the Spirit's here.
Come on.
It's obvious that the work has been done in everyone's heart by the Father. And it's obvious that each of you has been willing to work on yourselves and be willing to work together. You got to come together. But here's I mean, here's the thing. Do we understand how powerful a team becomes when the leader's doing what he is supposed to be doing, and the women are following like they are supposed to be following, and they're working together. They're not pulling against each other. It's like a really quality team of horses. That one's going to be your lead horse, and the director, and everything just, it's smooth. It works. There's not chaos.
Yeah. Y'all hear this? And y'all know I've got to give props to my son, Ms. Kaya. Y'all know I got to, right? Because we teach him, right? So, brother Pete and his wife Kelly is walking up the walkway. His cow's hanging out the door. Man, he's just a month over 2.5.
They here. We haven't personally talked to him about Brother Rambo, but he's listening.
Yeah.
He keeps saying, they're here.
That's like, I need a doorbell like that.
And they've enjoyed him, and he's enjoyed them.
Hallelujah.
We're coming to the end of this broadcast here tonight, but nevertheless, we're going to go ahead and probably move on for this, but we're still going to be preaching and teaching the truth. Maybe one day, we're hoping for some of you big-time scholars. You come out from the confines of your safety, of your offices, or churches, or mausoleum, whatever you want to call it. Come on out from under them. Listen. From a straightway standpoint, and I'm sure I'm speaking for Brother Rambo as well. Listen, this has nothing to do with us. It has to do with for the sake of honoring the truth. It's about truth. Truth is what set men free and lives bind.
Amen.
It's just that simple.
Amen.
Y'all enjoyed tonight's broadcast?
Yes, sir.
It's been pretty good, isn't
it?
Yes. Boy, Rambo, it is. I already knew it, but I know it's bad. It's bad. TJ, is it not bad? It's bad. It's bad. What we're talking about, they ain't ready. They ain't ready. They are not ready. I remember a long, long time ago, I was watching this movie called 300. And amazing. We're talking about 300. And there was this one coward. He was there at the war, but he looked over the top of the burn, and he saw the army of his Xerxes. It was vast. There was only 300 of them that went to the hot gates, right? It's like, we can't do this. And then he turns around and looked at the warrior and says, why are you smiling? Why are you laughing? He says, Arcadian, I can only hope. I've been through so many battles, through so many fights. I can only hope there's one man down there that can give me an honorable death. He said, this is madness. Think about that, the mindset. I'm looking for somebody worthy to kill what we know that we stand on. Y'all, I don't think you're going to find it. I don't think it's going to be there. Well, I'll tell you what. I was going to do this on, so y'all getting ready to get an exclusive that I was only going to put out for the high levels of patron, but I'm going to put it out now. All right? And we'll go ahead and broadcast on this. So, I have been using, and this, mind you, this product is not created by anybody in Straightway. And you all know that we have all these products in Straightway. This is somebody else's product. It's a mineral toothpaste. All right? A mineral toothpaste. This is not our product. But my Asian and a few other people has went back to the dentist a few times. And they've gotten nothing but good raves, good reviews about the cleanliness of their hygiene as far as their dental and everything. I mean, things are not deteriorating at all. People out there with periodontal disease, cavities, or receding of gum lines or whatever it is. Again, this is not our product. This is a product we've been using.
Because we want to test this out to make sure it's being used, because I'm not going to sit up here and put a product in front of you, putting money in somebody else's pocket and taking money out of yours or Israel's is not going to work. But this is Nelson's Natural Zero Waste Toothpaste. This stuff is the bomb. It's the real deal. And it's crazy because it's actually like a paste. See? And when you get finished brushing with this, you know that your mouth and your teeth has been scrubbed by Spick and Span. And here's one right here that has a, I don't use this one. I use this one. This is one is alkalized mineral toothpaste, and it says peppermint. That's for those of you who like taste. Not only that, it has this mouthwash, so it's got the sediment at the bottom right here. So you shake, you need to shake it up. But listen, don't take this at the full strength. It gives you instruction back here to dilute it until you can get used to it. Miracle Mouthwash, and this is by Uncle Harry's. This stuff, I can't get it in. Anyway, it does work. There we go. It pH balance, trace mineral, potent and cleans it off. It's the original. I'm telling you, it works. But if you try to take this stuff at full strength, your mouth, your gums, and your body going to know you hit something clean. I promise you all. And then here's an oral wash, oral swish. I have not used this yet. It says detoxifying, soothing, MERS, cold press. Yeah, I'm doing that.
And hold that.
Hold for it. But this is what Pastor values. I use this and this. I think my Isha's probably use maybe this, and maybe a few others. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. We've got nothing but good reviews. Mama Nelly was the last one went to the dentist. Mind you, this dentist that she went to, she hadn't been there for 3 years. 3 years now. And she went to this dentist. And nothing has gotten worse. You think about that. That's pretty good, the old fat, because Mom Nelly ain't no spring chicken. She may think she's a spring chicken, but she ain't no spring chicken. All right, she's 51 now. Are you following? It's a good product. And I can't help but to give you a good product that I know for sure that actually works. So, Brother Pete Rambo, we give you the last words, my brother, before we head out of here. This Shabbat right here. What say you?
I just say, you know, I bless you, and I bless the saints of Straightway. And I would challenge anybody listening, seek truth.
Mm.
Don't seek after men. Seek truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the Father will lead you, and he may lead you right here.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to seek truth first, above all things. Hashem Yeshua Meshachim.
Can't say any better myself. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we bless you all. In the sweet, precious, and strong, and victorious, and mighty, overcoming name, our soon-coming King, Joshua the HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Looking forward to seeing you all at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow morning. Shabbat service. Shabbat Shalom. The King is coming.
Amen. Again, it goes back to what the Father does. The Father doesn't seem to start with this big burst of knowledge for everybody.
Right.
It always was. But the apostles, what were they doing? They were out there preaching.
Little bitty.
And it was the little men that were coming along and figuring out the religious leaders stayed where they were. And everything passed them by. It didn't pass all of them by, I guess, because Acts tells us that there were many among the priests who believed in one of them, Acts chapter 20.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, it's not going to be this big burst of a light for everybody. Instead, what we're doing is we're winning in the hearts and minds.
It is. Can't deny.
So the other thing that we have to be focused on is building men who are so sure of what they have, and they have the knowledge, the understanding, that then they go build men.
That's what's happening. Is that not what's happening? Don't even sound like, this might mean it's like, damn, I'm saying to me, look, it's just the spirit of truth.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's the spirit of truth. It's the ruach of truth. It's all you're hearing over and over again. I talked to him one time on the phone, been text messaging ever since, right? And then we saw each other. And y'all hearing the same spirit.
It's
beautiful.
This is our first real interaction, particularly here on the subject. We had maybe 15 minutes out here where we were kind of comparing notes, but everything else was walking around and talking,
dude.
You know, and then he turned me over to Doug.
Tell him Doug.
Yeah. Doug.
And they getting ready to go back out and get a good night's sleep, good night's rest. So y'all need to pray for Sister Diane too, because apparently she done rubbed her earphone again. So she won't be in Shabbat service tomorrow, but can't take the noise, it's gonna be loud. All right, Israel. Bless y'all. Look, it did turn back. Look.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah,
what did he create such a thing?
Those are on my Zazzle account. This t-shirt. Yeah, that says all over the Bible, yeah. I don't make much, but it helps promote the understanding.
It does.
You know, that's not what it's about.
Well, I tell you one thing, we're going to help to make sure that the ministry gets promoted more. Truth get out. It needs to be, because it needs to be more than just one or two voices.
I mean, that's true.
Oh, here's Sister Carolina. Well, she took a picture of me biking this guy down the road today.
Yeah.
I didn't even know she did it. You know what I mean?
That's so nice. So cool.
All right.
Well, y'all
want to
talk about
a beautiful broadcast, wasn't it?
Good.
Ooh, man. You hear the truth.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Was that not a beautiful broadcast? Come on. I'm going to see them too.
Crazy.